Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Not in a Creepy Way, the podcast where the brothers Anderson will dig deep into the movies. The brothers Anderson are. This is Eric, he's the oldest one. The producer who makes it fun, gotta give him the credit. He's good with the edits. He's been the driving force since they begun. Next we got brother Jay. He just the movies that they play. The sip in the middle, Jay is gonna be a little more critical, analytical when he communicates. And lastly we got Drew, the finally family member of this group. He decides if the movie's worth it. Right kind of guy, that's for certain. Three chatty brothers with a family base. Need an excuse to talk away. Dichotomy of personalities. All you really need to do is press play. One podcast talk show. Hit the app if you want to catch an episode. They talk movies till they go off on a tangent flow and maybe ramble. That's the brothers Anderson. So sit back with closed eyes, let them take you away. Unless you're driving, keep them open to that case. We got Eric, Drew, and brother Jay. Welcome you two, Not in a Creepy Way.
Welcome, this is Eric.
This is Drew.
And tonight we're going to talk about the movie Sound of Metal.
Yeah, we are.
2019, directed by Darius Marder.
Was it really 2019?
Well, that's what it says in IMDb.
I think it came out this year, or maybe late 2020.
Well, we caught it on Amazon Prime, right?
Yeah.
In the US. So rush out to Amazon Prime and watch Sound of Metal. Now, Drew, had you seen this before?
Early you recommendation for you?
What's that?
Early recommendation for you?
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, spoiler. I liked it, but we have something to talk about.
Yeah, I had not seen it before, and I only vaguely knew what it was about, but I had heard that it was good.
Because we sort of zagged. You had the schedule all set up, and then Apple Plus screwed us by taking a movie away.
I think that's what happened. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we'll catch up with that other movie some other time.
Okay. And it kind of ruined your wolves theme.
It really did.
But, oh well. So you knew nothing pretty much going in. Oh, I mean, you like Riz Ahmed, right?
I do, yeah. He gives good face.
Yeah, he does. So I think I might have a Tilda Swinton, Ben Kingsley issue with Riz Ahmed.
Who did you confuse him for?
Well, I know he has done music before, too.
He has?
Yeah, I think so. But who is the musical artist known as RZA? Yeah, I figured that would be your reaction. That's somebody else, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Quite different.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway.
Yeah, RZA is a member of the Wu-Tang Clan.
Oh, okay. And he's been in movies before as well.
Yeah, I believe he's directed movies.
Oh, okay. So, yeah. So, I think I got a little confused. One for the other.
Ah, yes. Nope. Different people.
Okay. Anyway, so Riz Ahmed Rubin in this movie was never in the Wu-Tang Clan.
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay. Yeah, this movie, again, spoiler, it was nominated for a SAG Award and a Golden Globe this year for Best Acting in a Drama for Riz Ahmed.
I assume he's going to get an Oscar nomination, too.
Yeah, I think so. He should. This is kind of an Oscar-ish movie.
Yes.
And that's my only point of contention, was that I was not really aware. I mean, I read the little blurb, right? Mm-hmm. So the blurb is... it's a story about a drummer who is losing his hearing, and there's something from there, right?
Yep.
And that's pretty much the movie, but this was a really skillful movie. I mean, this actually kind of opened my mind to what movies could be.
Let me ask you this. Did you cry?
I didn't, but I had lots of feelings. I mean, yeah, I had lots of feelings about this movie. And I had lots of opinions about lots of the characters, as it turns out.
Yeah, I had feelings, too. I expected this to be somewhat of a tearjerker, but not in the way it turned out to be. And the part that really affected me is not where I assumed I would be affected the most.
And the, no, okay. Well, shall we just dive in then?
We probably should.
Okay. So, the movie starts out with, you know, this is a synopsis from IMDb because it's pretty good this week. Ruben, played by Riz Ahmed, who we know from Jason Bourne and Rogue One, is a drummer and one half of the metal duo Blackgammon, along with the singer.
I love that name, by the way.
Oh, yeah. No, Blackgammon is a great name. anyway, with the singer.
Great metal band name.
Well, first of all, are they a metal band?
Yeah, right?
No, they're a punk band. I mean, sure. But
they're punk?
Yeah, they're completely punk.
All right.
You don't think so?
Sure.
Screamy and like heavy on the guitar distortion and drums.
Okay. I mean, punk's a pretty wide genre. I was thinking more like experimental metal, but sure.
Okay. And maybe...
I'm not going to fight about it.
we'll have to consult with our metal expert, Dougie. By the way, I have, I'm actually reading a book. It's The History of Heavy Metal, the book, by Andrew O'Neill, which is pretty entertaining. And I guess, yeah, there's a certain amount of, like, I don't know, again, like, subcategories of music are weird, and I'm not well-versed in them enough. But yeah, to me, it just seemed like just a straight-up punk band. Partly I thought it was kind of a punk band because of the level of tattoos that he had. Like, I loved his tattoos. They were so random.
Yeah, yeah, they really were. And all throughout the movie, you get exposed to more and more of them.
Yes.
And each one is more of a head scratcher than the next. The Tidy Whiteys was the among the most baffling.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, the Please Kill Me and the guns and stuff. That, mm-hmm. I mean, that's all actually, I think, directly copied from other actual musicians. But, yeah, the Tidy Whiteys is weird. And then, mm-hmm. like, all the words and stuff. I mean, tattoos are a strange thing as well.
Yeah. Also, one thing that this movie taught me is just how truly important eyebrows are to completing someone's look.
This is from his girlfriend, Lou.
Yes.
Yes. Who dyed her eyebrows blonde. Olivia Cooke did. We know Olivia Cooke from the Bates Motel TV series and actually a science fiction movie that I recommend called The Signal that actually has Lawrence Fishburne in it.
I have not seen either of those.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the Signal is worth your while if you can find it streaming for a free someplace. So, they live in an RV while driving across country to perform gigs. Okay? They live this, again, to me, it seems like punk rock, but it could be any genre of musician. Later, they call it, like, the gypsy lifestyle.
Yeah. I mean, it's a actually really cool-looking, like, old Airstream.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It's just the two of them. It seems to be, like, they're their own band. So, he plays drums, mm-hmm. and she plays guitar and sings, or sort of. Turns out she can really sing at the end, but there's no evidence to begin.
They are very angsty in the beginning.
One of the things that this movie actually illustrated to me was as I have gotten older, I realized like that whole, I guess, romantic view of like life on the road and doing your art or whatever. At the time, it's you know, when I was younger, I thought, oh, that'd be great, you know? But as an older person, that just sounds miserable. And I think, I can understand why Lou's dad didn't really like Ruben. Just generally.
Oh, yeah. That guy was so good in this movie.
Yeah.
He was only in it for a couple minutes, but he was so good.
Let's see, I can't pronounce the French, but Mathieu Amalric.
Yeah, he was the bad guy from Quantum of Solace.
Yep, and he was also in the Grand Budapest Hotel.
Yeah.
Anyway, so yeah, they live in this Airstream and they're you know, driving across country, and you know, they play this, like, again, what I consider like screamy punk stuff. It like really small venues, but in their personal life, it seems like they're trying to get their shit together, trying to eat healthy. And he, we find out very quickly that he is a recovering addict.
They both are.
Well, and I thought it was, I mean, subtle in that they only show it the one time, but the fact that she's a self-injurer,
mm-hmm.
it, you know, all of that, it's like they're like, they saved each other from addiction and they're in love and they're doing the music. But again, when they listen to the music, when they get up in the morning and whatever, it's like this old bluesy stuff and or the jazzy stuff. So it's not what you'd think, like a punk band or a metal band
on an LP.
Yeah. Again, it's sort of a romantic kind of gives you the sense of once, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So put your mindset in once. Until he starts.
They had true chemistry. I mean, you could tell in the beginning how deeply he cared for her, and then later you could tell how deeply she cared for him.
There is this. At first, again, I had all of my walls were up when I started this movie. I mean, it felt like homework. I'm like, oh, this is going to be a tearjerker, and I don't care how good the performances are. It's like, this is going to take me a road. Like, and I was even thinking, do I watch it like last night before I go to bed, or do I watch it like in the morning this morning because I didn't have to work at the last minute, which is never the best thing to do. And, but I watched it last night. I was glad I did because the performances, Riz Ahmed especially, has all, I mean, he's on the screen the whole time. And he has a lot of very big emotional scenes. Right?
Yes.
But it works. It's not, I mean, it seems completely fair.
The emotions are big, but his performance is not.
Oh, exactly. Yes.
Like, what I really appreciated about this movie is he has a couple freakouts, but they're never like the look at me, look how much I'm emoting kind of scenes that you would expect in a story like this. He has like essentially no monologues.
No.
Even at his most tortured, he's really internal. Like, he's trying really hard to keep his shit together and be a decent person when his entire world is crumbling.
And from the very beginning, like, you know, knowing he's an addict and he's got a sponsor, because like after this hearing loss thing, he like smoked a cigarette, which made his girlfriend call the sponsor because she thought this was a slippery slope right back to heroin or whatever. And the character is so interesting in the fact that he is very single-minded. Like no matter what the obstacles are, if he's got a goal, he's going to reach that goal. And he just, you know, anything, any obstacles that come in the way that can be surpassed or whatever, but he's not going to worry about them until they arrive. He's like, nope, don't try to talk me out of this. We've got a plan. I've got a plan. This is going to work out. Everything goes to the plan. And I think maybe that's what I took away, that's what keeps his character like even going. Without like spinning off the rails.
Yes.
Yeah. Cause he's not having a great life even before this hearing loss thing happens. I mean, they've got a goal, like, but they're, you know, there's a lot of obstacles in their way and they're looking living hand to mouth.
Yeah. But they seemed content.
Yeah. 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 That's the first sign that there's going to be trouble brewing.
Yeah. Like you mentioned, not the lifestyle I would want, especially at this point in my life. Or probably ever, really.
Yeah.
Yeah, they seemed really happy.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I mean, they were doing what they wanted to do, and they were good at it, you know? And they hadn't had a lot of success, but that's what happened when you do art. Yeah, so then he has this, all of a sudden, he has this hearing loss. And the movie, the reason why, like I said, the movie was like, made me reconsider how I watch movies. I don't know if you read about this or whatever, but, you know, on Amazon Prime, defaults to putting closed captioning up or subtitles up, and you kind of have to turn it off. But the filmmaker's like, no, this should always be played with subtitles on. Like, that's kind of the point. And because the sound in this movie is so well done and so thought out, because the sound is, because, you know, Ruben is our character, right? We're following Ruben mm-hmm. around. And sometimes you are listening to the world the way the world is, and sometimes you're hearing the world as Ruben hears it. And those are two different things, and sometimes quite jarring, and really skillfully handled, I think.
Yeah, I mean, when you are experiencing the world from Ruben's perspective, it is harrowing. Yeah. It is really, really difficult.
And that just heightens this. I mean, you are right there with his frustration and, you know, a lot of emotions that he's going through make complete sense because you're in it with him, which, again, I thought was great. And the fact that you wouldn't want to do it all movie, you're going to have to flop in and out just right. to get the comparison.
Right. And you mentioned subtitles, and I chuckled because I always watch movies with subtitles on. And I actually went looking for them later when there's lots of sign language in the movie. I was hoping they'd have translations for that, but no, they don't. They specifically chose not to have captioning for all of the sign language, which just puts you further and further in Ruben's shoes because he's trying to learn.
Well, and at first, he's not even trying all that hard. He's like, yeah, I don't talk like that. So, you know. Yeah, I mean, this is such a... On one hand, this is almost like a cliche little story. For your Oscar bait story, right? But on the other hand, it's so well done. I mean, that's the thing. So, yeah. So, Ruben's starting to go deaf. And he goes, tries to handle it on his own without telling Lou. And goes to a pharmacy to get some sort of medication. And the pharmacist gives him whatever preliminary tests and has his buddy on the phone who's an audiologist or something. And yeah, from right then, you hear what Ruben hears, which is a lot of nothing, a lot of garbled stuff. And then when you switch over to like the real world and you hear the pharmacist talking on the phone about it, it's like, oh, yeah, he can't understand hardly anything I'm saying. You know, we're talking about like 10% here of communication going through. And then he goes to the audiologist and the audiologist tells him, yeah, we don't know what's really causing it at this point because it's too early to tell. But you got about 25% hearing in either ear and it's not coming back. And he's like, well, just tell me how to fix it. How do we fix it? You know, is there like surgery or something? And they said, well, there's these cochlear implants they could do, but those are very expensive, like $40,000 to $80,000. He's like, yeah, that's fine. Okay, just so can you, you know, set me up? Like, how can you get this done? And that's kind of part of the whole. He doesn't consider that an insurmountable obstacle if he can get what he needs. You know, he's like, okay, we'll just make this happen. Don't know quite how. Later, we learned that his girlfriend's dad is wealthy, but dad wasn't ever going to give him any money.
Yeah. Or her at this point in the story. But he's willing to do whatever it took to fix his problem, except what the dude what the doctor recommended, which was no more loud noises.
Yeah. Until they can, you know, figure out what's going on. But yeah, he's mm-hmm. like, no, like, and he never states it. He never tells him, look, I'm a musician, I'm a drummer, blah, blah. He's just like,
right.
He's like, yeah, okay, all right. You know, so now what else can I do? What else can I do? And then you already know. And he's, again, he's keeping things from Lou. He's just trying to keep it all internally because it's a problem he can solve himself without asking for help. But Lou figures it out when like he can't hear during a gig and is like messes all that and, like sort of storms out in the middle of a performance. And then you get some actually acting from Lou now.
She was so good.
Oh, she is. But
so good.
The first couple of minutes of this movie, she's, you know, the only character really is Ruben. But right. It turns out she's a character too. And you learn that, she calls his sponsor to get him some help. And his sponsor, because he definitely is spinning out of control, so they're worried he's going to go back to drugs. So they find a sponsor finds somebody that can maybe help him.
Yeah, that scene in the diner, that scene crushed me because just the look on her face like expressed the entire gravity of the situation in a way that Ruben was not willing to engage with. And like you said, they never had to speak the words, but it was written all over her face, and the sort of the concern and the fear that she had for him and on his behalf, that he wasn't willing to acknowledge even. It was just, that was really a really terrific scene.
Yeah. And, you know, again, like, so she cares more about him than she cares about the band or whatever. And he cares more about the band than his hearing or his health, because the band is what he has with her. So, yeah, they definitely have, like, chemistry and a connection. But, of course, bless you.
Thank you.
Anyway, yeah, so Hector or whatever, I think that's the sponsor's name on the phone, which, again, is great. Ruben talks to Hector on the speakerphone, even though he can't understand anything Hector's saying. He just has a one-sided conversation, which is great.
Because he knows everything his sponsor is going to tell him already.
So they go out to, like, this little, like, podunk rural place and meet a guy named Joe, played by Paul Racy. Yeah, it's maybe. Yeah,
So was his name really Hector, the sponsor?
I don't remember. Yeah.
But yeah, so Hector is, like, the best sponsor ever, because he's like, he's losing his hearing and, you know, maybe tempted to slip. I have just a place.
Oh, exactly.
Deaf addicts.
Yeah. Yeah. So they drive their Airstream out.
Hector gets a raise.
Oh, Hector definitely gets a raise. Yeah. And then we meet, again, Joe. Joe runs this little, or he has a program as part of this whole deaf community thing. And Joe is an addict, alcoholic.
Where are they? They were in Missouri or something?
Yeah, something like that.
I forget where they went.
But out in the sticks for sure. And Joe, do you remember what was the show called? Celebrity Rehab.
Oh, yes.
The guy who is, like, Dr. Drew's sort of sidekick and, like, maybe, again, sort of like a program manager, maybe, but as coming from a former user standpoint.
That's, yeah, and the world of music, I think, right?
Yeah, I think so, too, yeah.
Yeah, he always wore the hat.
Yeah, yep. So, yeah, that's what Joe reminded me of. By the way, Paul Racy, I'm probably pronouncing his name wrong. He is a pretty incredible guy. He is not deaf himself, but he grew up with both of his parents being deaf. So he,
oh, interesting.
Yeah, so he does a lot of theater by deaf people. So you look at his IMDb, and he's got lots of little Hollywood credits here and there, but he does just a ton of work with, like, either portraying deaf people or working alongside deaf people. And so, interesting. So he's a perfect choice for this sort of character, who is a recovering alcoholic who lost his hearing in Vietnam. And the one thing about this community, and again, I'm sure this is a real thing. I know it's a real thing in things like the Down syndrome community and the autistic community, of people that advocate their condition is not a defect to be cured.
Right.
But something is just to acknowledge and work with.
Right.
Yeah.
Have to adapt to it.
Exactly. So, you know, when Ruben says, yeah, okay, so I'll come here, whatever, but this gives me a place to stay, but I'm going to get these implants and whatever, so I'll be fine. And Joe's like, yeah, implants are expensive. And, you know, around here, we're not looking for a cure for your hearing. We're looking for a cure for your head or your heart or whatever. Right. So he's got a very, recovery program. I mean, that's what he does. He's a recovery program. Right. And it happens to be in this community that also has a school for deaf kids and seems like a part of a larger network. But, he basically says, okay, you know, to be here, Lou can't be here.
No Lou, no phone, no contact with the outside world for the first few months.
Yep. And he's like, nope, not going to do it. Let's go. And And then Lou finally says that, no, she's like, you have to go back here. You can't, like, you can't stay with me. Like, I care about you too much. So they have, like, a very, like, difficult to watch argument in a parking lot as she's getting a cab to go away.
This is the part where I completely lost it. I was watching it alone. Well, I mean, I was watching it in bed, so my wife was near me, but she was sleeping. Yeah, I was just sitting in bed crying while I was watching this, because I found it way too relatable. Like, just the way he was trying to simultaneously acknowledge and ignore his situation.
Yeah.
And he was trying to find ways to mitigate it without actually dealing with it. Like, so he wanted to figure out how to continue to play drums in their band together without being able to hear. And like you said, he was so single-minded that he was just in complete denial about what was going to happen to him if he didn't take care of it now. And Lou was, she was doing what she needed to push him into getting the help he needed, even if it meant that, you know, she had to leave him. That was crushing, because it really reminded me of when I had to get my back surgery. Mm. And you know, I think that's the whole point of a movie like this, is it makes you sort of contemplate the parts of your life that you find relatable. And this movie certainly did a good job, but I was not expecting to feel those kinds of emotions, because I think about that time in my life a lot, because I remember, I mean, I think we've all had something like this where you look back and you realize, like, your brain did not work correctly because of all of the stressors you were under at the time. Like, I remember trying to act like I was fine, even though I was in crippling pain all the time. And so when I finally sort of capitulated and got surgery, even then, I was such in a mindset where I didn't want to be a burden on my family, and I wanted to still continue to be a provider. Like, even after I came back, you know, with a giant scar in my back, having to wear a corset for a couple of weeks, even then I was like, my brain would not allow me to say, okay, I need to take it easy. I need to let people take care of me for a while. I was still trying to do really stupid things, and which I'm sure really risked my recovery. And you know, I'm still uncertain now if I actually did damage during that period of time, because I was so stupid and narrow-minded about how I was going to approach things. You know, I was still trying to lift heavy things because I didn't want other people to have to do it for me. And you know, now that I have some space that I can reflect on it, that was so stupid. I can't believe it, but you know, when you're in the moment and you have all these conflicting emotions and stresses, none of it makes sense at the time. And it was really difficult to watch that play out from an outsider's perspective and watch Ruben and Lou go through that.
Well said.
And this was not the point in the movie where I expected to be crying.
No, I know.
But it was. And it was really late when I was watching it. I figured I'd start the movie and then finish it up the next day. But I got to that point. I was like, I have to finish this movie, because if I stop here, I will not.
Yeah. 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 Well, that's it. Like I said, it's like as soon as I started having feeling for these characters, I'm like, oh, damn it. Okay. All right. Walls have to come down. I'm going to have to, like, get into the thing. And I mean, again, there's no reason to, you know, It's not a period piece. What was I worried about?
Feelings.
Yeah.
Worried about feelings.
Well, I guess. Yeah. So, yeah. So, basically, yeah, they have this really, like, horrible breakup scene, basically saying where Lou says, you have to go back and spend time there. They are what's going to get you better. And I mean, yeah, it's, I don't have to go into too much, but I like the fact that they're both being a little manipulative in like exactly the right way, you know? So, okay. So finally he reluctantly goes back and, they take his car keys, they take his phone, you know, basically the only way he gets any information from the outside world is he, occasionally sneaks and uses, I guess Joe's computer to look on the internet. But, and at first, of course, it's a weird, introduction to the group and he doesn't particularly want to be there and he doesn't want to participate. So this is all like normal sort of movie things.
Well, they have like a Addicts Anonymous meeting that's all in sign.
Yes.
Which he just kind of has to sit through.
And the dinners. The dinners are so, again, they're so well done because sometimes you just hear like, as Ruben does. And sometimes you hear like what a hearing person would. I mean, the only experience I have with hearing impaired people is we had a convention for the deaf back when they called it convention for the deaf or whatever at the hotel I was working at in probably the very early 90s. And there were a couple takeaways. I mean, we did a lot of preparation. Like I worked as a telephone operator, so there was a lot of technical things that we had to make sure worked right because this is the time of like TTY phones and things. And so we all had to get spooled up to train, you know, as trained as well as we could on that. And then there's all sorts of things like how do you do a wake up call for somebody who's deaf? So we had little strobe flashlight things that the bellman used. But one thing we didn't anticipate was get a group of deaf people in the lobby of a hotel chit-chatting in a big circle, they are loud because they can't hear themselves. So, you know, there's still some, you know, and this movie showed all of that too. Is like, depending on the nature of their deafness or whatever, you know, some were pretty verbal when they spoke in sign language and some weren't at all. And that was all again, without saying it, it was just showing you all this, like a peek into deaf life and culture, which I thought was really impressive. And then of course the kids was great. You know, working with the kids actually allowed him to actually learn something, like suck it up and just be, you know, cause the kids wouldn't, they wouldn't have any problem making fun of him or whatever.
Yeah. The kids were another really good example of the restraint of this movie. I thought there was going to be some real heavy-handed emotional manipulation having to do with his relationship with the kids, but no, it wasn't. It was part of the story.
Yeah, yeah, and there weren't any. And again, other than Ruben, there's nobody in this. Like, they didn't give him like a love interest in the deaf community to have this tension with, which I thought was nice. There was no like there were lots of little examples of connecting with the kids, but not like, it's not like one kid led him toward the promised land of living in the deaf community or whatever.
Right.
So you see his progress through learning sign, and he shows him, and again, a very sweet moment, giving the kids a drum lesson. Is pretty fun. So his day is actually being sponsored by the church, and Joe is like, hey, you know, you're doing so well here, you know, maybe we can make the arrangement so you can actually like live here more full time, you know, either as part of my program or part of the school or something. But in the meantime, Ruben, again, he's still pretty single-minded. He's got his focus, especially when he sees that Lou is playing in Paris some sort of weird-ass experimental music, where, again, I think it like just shows her.
Performance art.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like her laying on the floor, again, you don't hear it, actually. I don't think so. I don't think it actually even... No. What it was. But yeah, it was bizarre. So he's like, you know, his focus is still, okay, I'm going to get my implant so I can go back and be with my girlfriend, love my life, and do my music thing. And so he arranges to sell all of his gear. There's a funny thing with, again, Janky Tattoo, where he does a Janky Tattoo on a deaf girl, which is pretty funny.
And she had a very specific idea of what she wanted.
Yes. And yet it was still pretty sweet. I mean, it was a, So, and then he sells his Airstream. Although, again, he sells his Airstream with the idea that he's going to be able to buy the Airstream back right away. Because he's still sort of delusional on how this whole thing is going to work out. So.
Did you think he was going to get it back?
The Airstream?
Yeah.
No, probably not. No. But, again, this is like he's showing that he is deluding himself. Mm-hmm. And yeah, sort of behind Joe's back, he arranges to get surgery. So he goes and he gets surgery, and, they don't tell you anything about this beforehand. And actually it's in the goof section in IMDb about how cochlear implant surgery sort of works and how they prepare you really well, before you get it. And you have to be actually, I think you have to go through like psychological evaluations and stuff beforehand to make sure you're prepared for this whole thing. But turns out, cochlear implant surgery is not, what Ruben expects it to be or what I expected it to be. Like,
yeah,
oh, you're just bypassing your eardrums and you're just connecting to the brain so you can hear again.
Yeah, that was heartbreaking when he found out that he's not actually hearing anything anymore.
Yeah, that's the second most tragic part of this movie. That his dream of solving the problem that he actually, you know, mortgaged his whole life to get this problem solved in a pretty amazing fashion, right? Mm-hmm. And yet, he first of all, it takes like 4 weeks before he can even have the devices connected.
I forget what they said they did to his ear canal, but essentially it was like shaving everything off, right?
Yeah. They bypassed the whole thing, I think. So he went from being 25% hearing to no hearing.
Yes.
And then he had to kind of hide it a little bit. But he goes back and he tells Joe that he did the deed. Before that, he was the weird scene, which I maybe didn't understand. Perhaps you can clarify that Joe kind of went off on him because this is back when he's sort of acclimating slowly, trying to pitch in, and he is like repairing a gutter or something. Like some sort of like roofing siding or something. And Joe is like, no, you don't understand. You aren't here to fix anything. This is not your job.
Well, they had a chore scene earlier where everybody got their jobs. And Ruben's job was learn how to be deaf.
Ah, okay. So maybe that was he wasn't doing that part of it. That makes more sense.
Not, yeah, and that's why Joe set him up in the room to either be still or to write.
Yeah. which is bizarre and sort of 12-steppy kind of feel. It feels right. And also great because you get to watch Ruben react to this whole thing about so you tell me to like be up in this room and just write. Write until you can't write anymore, and then be still. If you can't be still, then you write. And if you can't write, then you come and see me, and I'll be doing the same thing. Like, I'll be being still and writing as well.
And that didn't really that didn't land for me until the very last scene of the movie.
Oh, me too. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. It turns out this movie had surprises. It was pretty effective. And I love the scenes of when Ruben takes his donut upstairs and his coffee and he sits down and he opens his blank notebook, and then he's just so angry. He's like smashes his donut, and then he puts it all up, like try to form it back together, and then smashes it again. And it's great.
Yeah, Ruben's restraint actually, I think, mirrors the restraint of the movie a lot, because he is very frustrated and angry with his circumstances, but he doesn't take it out on anybody. The only time you see him let loose like that is when he's completely by himself.
Yes. Yeah, because he can't show that he's frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not even that kind of movie, though. So, anyway, nope. That's "and I never learned to read." No, it's not that kind of movie. So, yeah, he gets a surgery and he comes back and he's basically telling Joe that, yeah, so he did the deed, so he doesn't need to be there anymore, but he does need someplace to stay for 4 weeks. So can he make some sort of arrangement? Because, again, he's been sponsored this whole time by the church. And Joe gives this great speech. It really, like, this was, again, it shouldn't have worked, because I should have seen this coming a mile away. And I saw it coming a mile away. I knew he was going to give the Oscar speech where he basically makes you cry. But he's just so good at it. They're both good in this scene. It's great. I mean, Joe tells him, look, you know, I wish you all the best, but the path you're taking is not the path that we do here. So you have to find someplace else to be.
Yeah, and he does it so well, because he's not angry. He's sad.
Yeah,
he's not angry. He's not vindictive, but he's very firm, and he is simultaneously very caring for Ruben. Like, I think he genuinely meant it when he said he hopes that this helps bring him happiness. But he is completely solid in the fact that it means that their time together is now done.
Yeah. Again, it's just so well done, because Joe is just basically holding it together until Ruben leaves.
Yep.
And as soon as Ruben leaves, he's like, you know, coming undone too, because this is... Although, again, if... Like, if you get a sense that maybe this is not the first time Joe has had to give this speech.
I'm sure it's not. He was very good at it.
Yeah. So, anyway. So Ruben has to go and stay at a crappy-ass motel for 4 weeks or whatever. And then he goes to get the implants. He gets the two cochlear implants, and they set him up. And I don't know why I thought this was going to have a regular happy ending.
You're expecting like a sports movie ending?
Yeah, where it starts out where he's like really distorted, and they're like, okay, this doesn't sound right. Can you flip a switch? He's like, okay, let me try. I flip a couple switches, and then boom. Yeah, it's the first thing he hears is the Rocky theme, right? Or But no. Turns out if you get cochlear implants, you don't hear like you heard when you had ears.
That was devastating.
Yeah.
Devastating scene.
And it never occurred to me. I mean, I guess it would never actually occur to you. I guess the most exposure, although I guess I've known people that have cochlear implants, but I think the biggest exposure is when like a character in one of my wife's soap operas like 10 years ago was deaf for about 6 months and then had a cochlear implant and then wasn't deaf anymore.
Yeah.
So it was just fixed his problem, you know. And then I'm sure later he had a twin and was possessed by a demon and all this other stuff. But so the fact that all of like this magic cure isn't isn't what he was expecting. And so he, you know, he's like, oh fuck, okay, well, this sucks, but I guess I'll still do what I need to do. So he flies to Paris, because that's where Lou's been staying, and that's where her dad lives.
Can we just talk about, like, how industrious Ruben is?
Oh, yeah. No, Ruben is a force of nature.
for everything that he does wrong in his life, he is a shark. He just keeps moving forward.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't explain it, but yeah, he's homeless. He has some pretty awful surgery that he's recovering from. And he makes it through the 4 weeks to get the implants, and then somehow has enough wherewithal to figure out how to get all the way to Paris on his own with sort of no resources.
That's kind of how I see Ruben actually making it 4 years sober too.
Yeah.
Of like just being totally regimented and being total single-minded in these things. And he's got Lou as the person he's doing it for.
Yep.
So then he goes to Paris and he gets let into Lou's dad's house, and we get to see Lou's dad, who, you know, I mean, you don't want to like, not super likable anyway. I don't know about you, but I had the sense that maybe Lou was seeing somebody else romantically. And maybe dad was trying to not break it to Ruben. But no, I think dad is just being the minimum acceptable level of hospitable you can be.
He was so French.
Yeah,
he's like, I'm gonna make you some eggs.
Exactly. Yeah. So
he was so good though. Yeah, his body language and the little talk he gives Ruben about how he didn't like him for a long time without ever even really having met him, about how he lost Lou twice because of her mother.
Yes.
And realized that he had blamed Ruben for some of that, but it wasn't Ruben's fault, and that Ruben actually really helped her survive during that time. It was great. It was just a great, great little speech.
Yeah.
And I was not expecting yet another performance in this movie to blow me away like that.
Oh, yeah. And again, so, you know, so you're hearing what Ruben does a lot of the time. So you're hearing this distorted implant sounds, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the next scene is where, you know, Lou shows up toward the end of that day that Ruben arrives. But there's a party going on. It turns out it's her dad's birthday party. And so there's going to be a ton of people.
She shows up and she's unrecognizable.
Exactly. Yeah. 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 She has eyebrows, or at least her eyebrows are the regular color of her list of her hair.
She has normal eyebrows. She's got kind of shorter hair.
Yeah. Not as twitchy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Doesn't have any obvious self-injuries, wounds.
Oh, he actually comments. Ruben comments later that, she hasn't been cutting.
So then, you know, she's got this party to go to. And so I guess Ruben is sort of invited because he's at the house, but they don't expect it to be his scene anyway. But, you know, whatever. And so Ruben strolls down into the party.
His presence is tolerated.
Exactly. And he goes down. And then you hear, again, you experience the fact that the implants don't work well when there's a million little sounds at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, it's very disorienting and frustrating for Ruben to be in the big party too.
Yeah.
And then when they play the music and the love of his life is singing a beautiful song, he can't hear how she is singing. It doesn't sound like the music he's used to hearing.
Yeah, that was rough.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, at this point, you realize, oh, no, your musical career is over.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it just keeps crushing your soul here, because after the party, Lou comes up and they, you know, there's some pillow talk they have. And yeah, he comments that she's not injuring, although when they start talking about like the future, she starts to take her fingernail and start to immediately go at her arm. It's like, oh, and yeah, it's just, again, it shouldn't work, but it's great when the moment that he realizes that he is not any good for her anymore.
Right.
That, you know, the best thing they could do is he could leave. It's just heartbreaking.
And again, so restrained. There's no big blow up. There's no big breakup conversation even. It's just he sees it.
Yeah.
He silently acknowledges it.
Yeah. And there's tears, but there's not. I mean, yeah, you're right. And then he leaves the house, like, you know, before people get up or whatever. And you see him, like, walk through the streets of Paris and hearing all of the sounds that you would hear, super distorted. You know, he can't quite get conversations, like, from across the road with all the other background noise. So he can't really, you know, be part of it or whatever. And then, I guess at the end, he sits down on, like, a bench. And he takes off his implants, so he hears nothing. And he just experiences silence, but also stillness, which is what Joe was talking about.
Yeah. You're
like, And then it fades to black. That's it. I mean, that's all we are ever going to know about Ruben.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, this was a beautiful movie.
It was. Yeah, absolutely. Yep. I'm feeling emotions just talking about it. And these are fake people. Like, Riz Ahmed has perfect hearing. He had to learn how to play drums for this movie. Yeah. So if I were Brother Jay to score it, I mean, this is an A movie.
Yeah, it really is. And I apologize for sucker punching you with it. I did the same for myself because I had seen the poster art and I knew the title and that was it. So I was expecting like a heavy metal version of the movie Whiplash or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this was not that.
Or really. Something School of Rock maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, even the first 5 minutes of this movie, you know, where he's just a sweaty, like tattooed shirtless drummer guy.
Yeah, and Lou just looks like the worst.
Yeah.
Like, she looks like the type of person I would want to be nowhere near ever for any amount of time.
Yeah, no, you're exactly. Yeah, she's the Courtney Love in this group.
Yeah.
But, although that's not quite true. There's no indication she had any shit together, and Courtney Love has always seemed to have plenty of shit together.
Also, Lou did not murder Ruben.
True. Yeah. allegedly. So, any other notes on the Sound of Metal?
No. That was it was more emotionally draining than I expected it to be, but it was great. I don't know that I'll ever watch it again, but I'm really glad that I watched it one time.
I was tired because it was I worked yesterday, last day of the week. I was tired. The back of one of my ears was just raw and throbbing because of the stupid mask 12 hours a day for, you know, at this point 3 days in a row, and then I wear glasses and I headphones at home, and so that kind of rubs a little bit. And I was flipping the coin between, like, do I turn on, like, old time radio podcast stuff or go to sleep? Or do I watch the movie? So I put in the movie, and then, like, at 11:30 at night when I'm done with the movie, it's like, and I like, get up and, like, okay, I'll take the dog out. I had to make a pork loin sandwich because I needed some time before I went to sleep because I needed to let this movie sink in for a little bit. So thank you. I appreciate it. I really do. I mean, it's like, that's why I was like, darn you, you know, suckered me into another really good, but ultimately feeling causing movie. But yeah,
it's one thing the Anderson boys don't like. It's addressing their feelings.
It's feelings. Yes, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, it's everybody's Ruben. When you're talking about your back thing, it's like, yeah, if your job or most of your life, or you feel that your role in your life is to be a caregiver, I don't want anybody to try to care for me. I don't need your help. I can help myself. I'm fine. I want to help you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Sound of Metal, I dug it. I definitely recommend it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Are we in housekeeping?
I think we are.
So, still enjoying the sous vide life. Decided not to buy a discounted, lovely looking roast of beef at the store yesterday because I still had a fully cooked roast beef in the fridge. I'm like, I'm going to get the gout at a certain point. So, but the other only other housekeeping I had, let's see. Other than I did get my first shot, vaccine shot, and I didn't have any side effects at all. And nice. I guess our parents got their second shot on Sunday, and they're doing all right by now. And Jason mm-hmm. just got his second shot today, I think.
How's he doing?
He's doing okay, but you know he had a bit of a reaction to the first one, so I think he expects this one to be worse. So we'll see. I think he will keep us updated. There was one movie I watched today. Actually, I'm never a person who can, never nice to say never, but I normally don't, like, read two books at the same time.
Oh, yeah?
I can't maintain two novels at the same time. But apparently I can watch two movies at the same time. Because I was watching the movie Failsafe, which is the all-star cast movie black and white, actually. All-star cast, like everybody from Larry Hagman to Walter Matthau in a serious role. Anyway, it's tons of people you recognize. It's basically the serious version of Dr. Strangelove. And I'm like two-thirds through from that or away from being the end of that. But I watched an Indonesian horror movie, which I actually recommend a lot. It's called, and I'm probably mispronouncing it, but it's called Impetigore.
Okay.
And that's all I'm going to say about it. It's Indonesian, but it's great. You'll enjoy it.
A movie I watched recently, and I was tickled to hear you and Jason talk about David Morrell last week, because I just rewatched First Blood again. It's really good. It's better than I expected. It is such a different movie than the sequels. It has a point, it has a purpose, and it's actually pretty sad, but good. The action's good. All the Brian Dennehy and Sylvester Stallone are good. It was great to revisit it. So that was that was a fun one.
There was another movie. See, I am partway through on Shudder. Oh, of course, it won't work. I think it's like Queen of the Black Hearts or something. Something like it has all those words in it somewhere. Another Indonesian horror movie. Completely different setting, but really well done. I mean, I'm impressed. So
I watched a movie called By Bust.
Oh.
Which was, I think it's it takes place in the Philippines.
Ooh.
I was watching it to kind of scratch like the raid itch.
Mm-hmm.
It was not as nearly as good as the raid, but it was fine.
Is it about like, cops, investigating drug stuff?
Yeah, it's about a cops who go on a raid.
They go on buy bust raids, probably.
Yeah, it's a buy bust. They have an undercover who's going to go make a buy, and then they have the strike team waiting in the wings to do the bust. But it's in it takes place in like this this kind of a ghetto. So it's very claustrophobic, you know, lots of alleyways. So when it goes wrong, it's sort of like the on foot version of like Black Hawk Down, where the entire population is sort of against them. And
another movie that plays with sound, when that character has the shell go off right next to him, or an explosion right next to him, grenade maybe. And you hear that ringing in his ear. That's all Sound of Metal. By the way, the title I was thinking of the movie is The Queen of Black Magic.
Oh, that sounds amazing.
Well, again, I don't want to give too much away, but yeah. Like, I don't, I'm leery of some Asian horror because I don't believe in ghosts. So a ghost, and I don't understand Japanese ghosts, especially. There are these rules that I don't understand. So they don't always work on me. But both of these movies, there's fun stuff happening. They're not slasher movies. They're more, supernatural.
Hey, I watched Top Gun last week.
The new one?
No, I wish. Oh, that's one of the things that is really bummed me out about 2020. I was looking forward to the Top Gun sequel so much. The trailer looks amazing.
Tell me about rewatching Top Gun.
It's rough.
The bar scene when they sing. It's not hold up.
Do you remember when we watched Days of Thunder and we were talking about how for as much of just a charismatic movie star Tom Cruise is, and for as much screen presence he has, he is like an alien weirdo who does not have chemistry with anybody. And so imagine that, but taking place when he's much younger and not in like total control of his superpower.
But I realized that for maybe 15 years, I had a coworker that would be like negative Ghost Rider. And I didn't remember that was a Top Gun quote. I thought maybe it was actually a quote from the movie Ghost Rider, Nicolas Cage.
Also, my memory of Val Kilmer in Top Gun is that he was super over the top.
Uh-huh.
He wasn't. Like, he, in my mind, he was like just this ultimate dickhead villain.
Yeah.
He's not. He's right.
Yeah, that's so funny.
He's right. And he's a little cocky, but every time it's always like, no, I don't like you because you're dangerous and you take risks and you're going to get people killed. And he's 100% right.
He's Kim on The Last Days on Mars.
Yes, he is. He really is.
That's
hilarious. Also forgot that Iceman, Val Kilmer, he is Top Gun.
What do you mean? Oh, he is
the one that wins the Top Gun trophy.
That's
hilarious. It's not Maverick.
Yeah.
I'd forgotten that.
It's funny because I only remember the culturally significant parts of it, like the you've lost the love and feeling, except I don't remember that there's the only black guy in the whole movie then jumps right in and finishes the song, and like as if he is Sammy Davis Jr. with the Rat Pack. But I remember that, and I remember Goose dies. And I remember there may be some volleyball or something.
Very homoerotic volleyball.
Ah, there you go. Yeah. Well.
And Goose's replacement?
Yes.
Who like the character is never really introduced. He just shows up behind Maverick the next time he needs a, what do they call him? RIO. It's a very young Tim Robbins.
Holy, Tim Robbins was young?
Yeah. He looked like a baby.
Wow. Oh, I thought it was interesting that we were watching a Riz Ahmed movie at the same week there's a coup in Myanmar. Because I did kind of a deep dive in the Myanmar coup. One of the things that Riz Ahmed has done is he's done a lot of work for like Muslim actors and the Muslim community, you know, sort of normalizing Muslims for Americans, that kind of thing. And so the Rohingya people that were, I don't know, genocided in Myanmar by the military is certainly one of his causes. By the way, there's, I guess they, somebody else coined it, but like they do the RIS test, which is like a little bit like the Bechdel test. It's like to pass the test, you have to, if you have a character that is identified as Muslim, are they a terrorist? Are they abusive to women? You know, that kind of thing. So are you following Myanmar? Burma?
Just the headlines.
Again, I have opinions, even though I don't have enough information, but yeah, I'm American. So it's so interesting that Aung San Suu Kyi, the leader, the civilian leader, because the way the constitution works, the military has a certain amount of cabinet seats anyway or whatever. But she's the civilian leader that has been elected, like, super popular democratic elections. She was imprisoned, house arrest for like 19 years or something. Her father was a big deal before the first coup there. So she's like a national hero. Like they have like pictures of her on like banners and stuff in the streets. So this week she got arrested and there was a coup. The military decided, oh, we need a year off from democracy to get this shit worked out. You know, as you do. But two things I find interesting. One is that in the last couple of years, because of the Rohingya thing, because, you know, she is a Buddhist, you know, ethnically Burmese person or whatever, and the Rohingya are, I guess, a different ethnicity and also Muslim, not Buddhist. So they're a minority that she doesn't particularly like. So, she, you know, like we have touted her as like, this is a prime example of democracy working, blah, blah, blah. and yet she refused. Not only did she not call it a genocide, but like she testified like in front of the UN or something, talking about, oh yeah, this is not a genocide. And she never mentioned the name of the people. And it was like, it was a thing. She turns out to be the feet of clay a little bit. But in 2021, especially after January 6th, 2021, guess what? America has no right to criticize what happens in a foreign country with regard to democracy. Like, we can't come in and say, you know, well, we strongly condemn all this, the coup and whatever, and we want to put our support behind genocide lady. And oh, by the way, yeah, we nearly had a coup the other day, and
Well, the president of Ukraine, right? He came out and said that recently.
Oh, about America?
Yeah. Like America is not the example of what a democracy should be.
No. And of course, you know, so here's where though, if I'm really going to want to stay up at night worrying about a problem, I have nothing, no way of changing at all, is that, so politically for America, you know, we want to make sure we're on the good side of the Myanmar thing, because if not, and even Aung San Suu Kyi has said, you know, if you guys don't support us, America, China's right here. Like, we'd be happy to be supported by China, you know, no problem. But there are people in America, especially the hawkish people, that are starting to use terms again, like domino theory, about how we don't want Myanmar to fall to the communist Chinese as part of the communist conspiracy to take over the world. And it's right back to Vietnam for us. That's what America needs now.
Well, I mean, we are coming to terms with the fact that Russia, at least, never thought the Cold War was over.
Yeah, well, yes. Yep. I don't know. It's a strange world we live in. But, hey, it's February 5th, right? So we're still a country. United, 50 states. We'll see how long that number lasts. Let's see how long, maybe the number will increase, actually. Yeah, we'll be fine. We managed. I do appreciate that they kicked Marjorie Greene out of all the committees. she could bitch about all she wants, but yeah, that's Steve King got kicked out of all the committees, she should have been kicked out for sure. Did your Lou Dobbs program, the number one program on Fox Business, has been canceled?
No.
Yeah. Mm. Last show is today. So maybe they're taking that lawsuit seriously.
Well, it's, what, $2.7 billion?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Jason sent us that the filing. It's like, I loved it.
That was very funny.
Yeah. So what's new with you?
My kids are going back to school on Monday.
Excellent. I think you'll be happy.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's still only half a day.
Well, that's the worst of all worlds, but yeah.
It really is. So I'll be going back into the office for at least a few days in the week for now.
Well, that sort of sucks. But just strictly from the girl standpoint, and your girls have a slightly different thing because they have each other, but the fact that Journey got to go see her friends, she's almost bearable to live with. It's great. Like, she goes and she gets all of that stuff that she's been missing, and she comes home and she's tired and has experienced new things and has stories to tell. It's pretty great. And they pretty much adapted really well to the mask wearing and kind of weird routine they have. And let me tell you, pickup and drop off has never been better.
Really?
Oh, it is moving like clockwork. It's great.
Nice. Yeah, no, that my girls are super excited. They've had 1 hour in class. They call them small groups. 1 hour this week and 1 hour last week, just so they could sort of see what the new protocols are and see what the classroom is going to look like. And in both times, they were so excited. They were so happy.
Yeah.
And we, out of our entire school, only 47 kids are not coming back.
Excellent. That's good.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see. I mean, it's funny because, you know, Anchorage's numbers have been looking pretty good. I mean, we're still have a lot of cases in the hospital, but the sheer number of positive tests every day have gone down.
Are you a double masker now?
I am not. What's the idea behind the double mask?
Some of the new strains are supposed to be, even more easily transmitted. So now they're recommending either an N95 or like a surgical mask underneath a cloth mask.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Man, going to the grocery store or whatever, not a problem. I wear 3 masks. Doesn't matter. 12 hours a day at work.
Yeah. Oh,
man, you know, my adolescent acne, which never turned anything into anything but adult acne. I just need my big greasy nose under a mask I'm breathing into, humidifying for 12 hours a day. And it's not great.
A job where you have to talk all day?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yep. And we're not playing around at work as far as the masks go. I mean, if we have to drink something, we'll take it down to drink. And then if we are by ourselves in like a room, then we can take off the masks. But otherwise, we're all masked up all the time, talking through our masks on the phone to people.
Our teachers, they asked our PTO if we could buy them these, Envo masks. Have you seen these?
Are they rigid plastic, clear plastic?
Yeah.
I think our principal wears one.
Yeah. My oldest, her third grade teacher has been trying one out, and she said she loves it. She said it's super comfortable. She feels very protected in it. I'll send you a link.
Yeah,
send me a link. They're not cheap. They're $80.
Holy moly.
It's a serious thing. But yeah, it's, I think if I was, if I had a job where I had to wear a mask and talk all day, I might think about something like it. especially if it is as comfortable as it's reported to be.
Yeah, if it's a one-time something.
I don't know how easy it is to take it on and off. I mean, it's pretty serious.
Looks pretty rough. And you can talk through it?
Yeah.
Okay. That's the one thing that, you know, I need to be able to be heard.
Yeah, and it's actually a NIOSH 95 respirator.
Yeah.
So.
Is that what N stands for?
Oh, in the N95? Yeah. I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah, and we're going to be wearing masks for quite a while. So, yeah.
I'm having a hard time wrapping my head around, even after we've achieved the vaccination percentage where we can call victory with herd immunity. I still don't know what the world looks like then.
And how long is that going to take? Because in America, we're not doing a great job rolling it out.
Oh, it'll be the fall at the earliest, right?
Yeah. If we get all of our shit together.
Mm-hmm.
That's just like locally. I mean, we're doing pretty good in Alaska. The fact that I've got mine is incredible. I mean, but yeah, it's completely appropriate. Like I felt guilty a little bit at first. I'm like, no, I'm a first front. What is it? Frontline worker, not frontline. First responder, who's over 50, you know, with health conditions. So I'm perfectly qualified. But yeah, it's going to be a while. Tell everybody gets, and then kids aren't even qualified for it. So
yeah. And are you following what the ANTCH is doing?
I'm not sure what the ANTCH is.
That's the Alaska Native Tribal Health Consortium.
Okay, I did not.
So they got their own allotment of vaccines, and they opened it up to, I think, pretty much anybody.
Yeah, they did.
So
yep.
if you're impaneled at the Native hospital, in the household of someone.
Exactly.
Who's impaneled, I think.
Nope. That's how a couple of my coworkers have already gotten it too. Like only four of my coworkers that work in my division or whatever have gotten it. Based on whether we were working that day and I think maybe our seniority, it's crazy, or whether we had signed up ahead of time or something, but some other people have gotten it through the Native Corporation. And actually it's one of the Native corporations that we got ours from. So, so that's where, that's where we're getting ours. It's funny. They seem to
have their shit together the most.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm glad you got it. I'm glad Jason got it. Glad our parents got it. I can't wait to get it.
Yeah. You'll be getting it pretty soon. Hopefully soon as they call your number, right? I mean, you can start.
Yes.
Applying.
I do qualify for being obese.
Yay. I can't imagine why, but yes. Yay.
Yeah, I never pay attention to that, but it had a BMI. If you're 30 or above, you're in one of the higher risk categories. So I looked at my height and weight, and it's like, man, the BMI scale is so weird. It's such a weird scale.
Yeah.
I mean, I know I'm fat, but, to be normal weight according to that scale, I would have to drop 45 pounds.
Yeah.
I can't imagine. Like, I think you'd be able to see through me if I dropped 45 pounds.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not at any risk of it, but I'm shorter than you are. If I were to be in the perfect BMI, you would think I'm coming out of some sort of concentration camp.
Yeah. Yeah, that is a messed up scale. So take a listen if you got a second to bear. If you like, subscribe, you can even share. Films on films, discuss on air. It's a brother podcast, we're gonna leave it right here. Take a listen if you got a second to bear. If you like, subscribe, you can even share. Films on films, discuss on air. It's a brother podcast, we're gonna leave it right here. One podcast talk show. Hit the app if you want to catch an episode. They talk movies, so they go off on a tangent flow and maybe rambling. That's the Brothers Anderson. So sit back with closed eyes, let them take you away unless you're driving. Keep them open in that case. We got Eric, Drew, and Brother Jay. Welcome you to Not in a Creepy Way. Hey. Not in a creepy way. 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 Okay. Not in a creepy way. Not in a creepy way. Not in a creepy way. We got Eric, Drew, and Brother Jay. Welcome you to Not in a Creepy Way. Hey!